All right, I'm going to have you turn mark your Bibles or mark some places in your Bibles, if you will. I am going to deal this morning with God being an orderly God, and it's necessary for us, and I would encourage young people to be listening to the Lord and have an orderly life. I believe God speaks to people who keep their lives in order and are ready to listen to God. And I want to go through this morning. This is Sunday school, and I can preach this, I can teach this. However the Lord leads us, you just pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us. And I'd like you to mark in your Bibles, put a marker in there at about Hebrews chapter 1, and then another one about Acts chapter 16, and then another one about all the way, more than halfway over now, and then at the very end of your Bible, at Revelation chapter number 3, if you'll put some markers there, it'll help us, because we have to be careful with our time. I normally do this with a board, either a chalkboard or a whiteboard, or sometimes I've taken paper and lightly drawn the continents on the paper, and then shown God's order from continent to continent. As missions moved around the world. And God is a God of order. God moved. God has an order for moving around the world. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter, if you've got those places marked. I'll start in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Let me go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13, and then I'm just going to try to fly through this for the sake of time, but asking the Lord to guide it and direct it so that it'd be helpful to you. He said, he's talking about the church, he's talking about the gifts, the men gifts to the church, and he says there in verse number 12, therefore the perfecting of the saints, we're talking about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's will for man since the fall has been to be more than he is when he is born. Amen. That's not so with the animal kingdom. That's why I know evolution is wrong. God has a will for man that he must be more. To spend eternity with God, he's got to be something different than he is when he's born under the condemnation of Adam. So let me ask the Lord now. You pray with me. Let's ask the Lord to help us over the next few minutes. Heavenly Father, we need your help this morning. Please touch us, Lord. Help us to say those things that are vital in the time that we have. Help us to have our time directed by the Holy Ghost. Let us listen to the Holy Ghost this morning as we go through these things. And Father, just use this time to honor thy precious Son. Father, we go to the world to proclaim him to the nations. And we'll thank you, Father, for letting us make much of him this morning in this place. And we ask it in his dear and precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, that's why the Lord said to Nicodemus, and we've already heard it preached this week, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. God intends for us to be more than we were when we were born. We know from the book of Romans in chapter number 1 that man degenerates when they ignore, first of all, ignore thankfulness to God. Amen. That's the very first thing in the list. And when they ignore the revelation of God, man just degenerates. And you see that on a smaller scale day by day. When people reject the Word of God, you watch their lives. You watch what happens to them as they go through life and get confused and messed up in the things of this world. But in a large sense, mankind degenerates when mankind ignores God. And so we know that we have a commission and a mission to the world, a message to the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, He took this old sinner's sins and He imputed them to Christ on the cross. I wanted to preach this morning. I asked the Lord to let me preach out of Exodus on the subject of God will not clear the guilty. And how does a sinner go to heaven if God will not clear the guilty? And I wanted to preach on that. But all that is wrapped up in the ministry of reconciliation. God put us on the cross with His Son. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. We were resurrected with Him. And God wants us to take the message of a reconciled world. Hey, every man, we have to be careful how we say this, but listen carefully. Every sinner on the face of this earth is in a position to go to heaven if they'll hear a message. The message will get to them and they'll hear it and believe what God said about His beloved Son and about their own condition under condemnation, how that God reconciled the world unto Himself. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see the world reconciled to God, and He gave us a message to go and to take to all the world. That's been preached all week, and we thank God for it. It never gets old. I pray God every day for more opportunities to sit in a home with somebody and just make much of Christ in the presence of somebody through the Word of God. And it seems like we see fewer and fewer opportunities to actually get into homes. People don't want to let you into homes. But Brother Vickers was praying. We need to pray for that. We need to ask the Lord to open homes, touch people, to open their doors, and just sit down with us with an open Bible. Amen. Well, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the seed is the Word, and the field is the world. The seed is the Word of God, and the field is the Word, world. And in Mark 16:15, we know we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel. Acts chapter number 17, I'm not gonna turn there this morning for the sake of time, but in Acts chapter 17, we find that God set the bounds of man's habitation that they should seek the Lord. That's the reason for boundaries. By the way, that's a good reason. Write that in a letter to people who make laws in our country. God set boundaries. God established the nations according to the numbers of the children of Israel. And God set boundaries. He set the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation that men might seek the Lord. When man messes with boundaries, men stop seeking God. Men get tied up in all of the things of development and raising the masses and all of these things that we used to hear from the communists over in China all the time. And you hear them now here in the United States. But God set bounds of man's habitation for the purpose that man would seek the Lord. God knows how to do this. It will observe that God is orderly if we'll find the order of God, if we'll submit ourselves to His leadership in our lives and get into His order. God will use us. God will take the confusion away, put light in our path, and we'll be able to serve Him without wondering all the time, am I going the right direction? Am I going the right way? Am I in the will of God? Hey, listen, young people especially, and young families, set your homes in order for the precise and specific purpose of missions. Amen. You say, well, God may not want us on a foreign field. No, but set your mind, your thinking in a missionary manner. I'm always talking these days about pioneering missions. And trying to find young men who are willing to pioneer something from the ground up that's never been there before. Not laying on another man's foundation, but going someplace where the gospel has yet to be preached. In this nation, we've got areas all over this country without going very far that had the gospel preached at one time. And now, in our generation, it is as if the gospel has never been preached there. We've got areas right around us. It appears that it, as if no one, you talk to people, you go around and you just knock on doors, just start passing out tracts, talking to people about the Lord, and it just seems like you're in a brand new area where no one's ever heard the gospel before. In many areas of our country, because of the neglect toward the Word of God, neglect of the Word of God in this land. Now, God set a middle of this. You know, we got what we call the equator. My wife and I and family, we've been all the way from the Arctic, just about, well, at least Siberian area, 40 degrees below zero, all the way down into the Philippines and in the tropics, or subtropics at least, and been in Cambodia several times where it's even hotter than the Philippines. God has set an order in creation. He has set southern continents to be the tropical continents. And it seems to us, and I don't mean anything unkind by this, but it seems that in the southern continents, man remains at the bottom of the social scale. It seems like they're always needing help. It seems like they always need something pumped into them. They sure need light pumped in there. I mean, Africa was not called the dark continent for nothing. And as modern as we've gotten, as far as we've come in the development of technology, we still have a dark continent there. And all around the world, in the southern continents, they seem to be the continents of nature, but not of history. It seems like they get left behind. They're not supposed to be left behind. And then you've got the northern continents. The northern continents are temperate. God created this ball so that you have a set of temperate continents in the north where history could move around the world, and with history, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I see in that God has set an order on this earth for getting the gospel around the world so that the northern continents could reach the southern continents. The northern continents could listen to God, look south and say, hey, there's a whole hemisphere to win for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about people who listen to God and pay attention to God and know that God is an orderly God, and God has set things in our Bibles to teach His order, and we ought to listen. Amen. We ought to listen. Amen. That says outline on there. I don't know where. Amen. Well, if you'll go over to Hebrews, I had you go to Mark Hebrews. Let me go there real quick with you. And I'll have to really move along here. Hebrews chapter number 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, who He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds. That's what we're talking about. God said, pay attention to the way the world is made. Pay attention, young people. Pay attention, young families that have still got the strength of your youth, the way God has made the world. Over in the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, chapter 2, verses 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, listen to this. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. And so when I read those verses, I think of how God started this all off. I think of Asia. We studied this with our children when they were in school. It got us interested in missions. We started looking at the order of God. And it showed us the beginning. It showed us Asia. You know, Asia is a continent that has about a survival of a thwarted and a threatened people. And it seemed like all the time, especially the Middle East. That's where God created man. That's where truth was found first in that place. That's where God's people Israel were. That's where the patriarchs were. That's where the giving of the law, the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ was given. All of these things. And Christ Himself reconciling the world unto Himself. Now consider this. Although God did all of those things in the beginning, God never has allowed that yet to be the gathering place. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's not the gathering place yet. From the Tower of Babel, it has been a scattering place. It's been a place difficult for men to live, inhospitable. It has been a place of warfare and bloodshed and death. And God, up to this point, has never allowed man to regather there. Man tried that at the Tower of Babel. Man tried to build a United Nations at the Tower of Babel. Yeah. And worship the heavens from that tower. And that's what man just is idolatrous by nature. And God scattered him upon the face of the earth. And from that place, listen, about that time, about 5,500 years ago, the Tower of Babel, that tower produced some folks that went east. This got me interested years ago. And took all of the Genesis truths from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the time of the Tower of Babel across eastward, across what we know today as Iraq and Iran and Uzbekistan and Afghanistan and all those other stands over there, and on across the border into China, so that we can sit today in a Chinese home or restaurant or park, sitting on a park bench, and show from the Chinese characters the creation of man, the fall of man, and we can show Genesis truths all the way through the flood and all the way through the Tower of Babel. And that Chinese people write it every day. They write it in their language every day. But when you isolate it and say, break that down. Let's break that character down. Yeah. They start scratching their head and say, you're showing me something we ain't ever taught us in school. Yeah. But they know it's there. Yep. You know, that those characters are 5,000 years old. Yes, sir. And that would put it just after the time of Babel when God scattered. I'm making the point. God made it a scattering place for a reason. God might scatter you. Do you know that God has scattered churches in the past, entire churches, to get them to the mission field? Do you know that we talk about all of the things that we think make up church today, and we forget that the Albigenses and the Waldenses, they were being marched around and run around Europe, and they didn't have a settled dwelling place. They were under persecution all those years. God kept them scattered for what reason? Because the greatest thing going on, the world talks about the Reformation, but you and I know where the gospel was being preached. You and I know where God was moving missions. You and I know where in history God was getting the Word of God around Europe, and that was with our forefathers. I have no embarrassment or hesitation to say that was with our Baptist forefathers, whom all of them hated. God let them get scattered so that they would get the gospel around the world. That takes us to Acts chapter 16. To go over to Acts chapter 16. Did you put a marker there in your Bible? I've really got to run here. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Watch this. Now when they had gone, this is Paul and his company, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, were forbidden, listen, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word in Asia. Now listen, you can know the will of God. You can pay attention to the Holy Ghost of God. And God will move you and pull you and push you. Put His holy hand in the small of your back and move you just like He did the saints of old and the apostles of old. Listen, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word in Asia after they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. What direction was that? That was west. God was moving the whole matter of missions around to the west. And he says, come over into Macedonia and do what? Help us. Well, let me see. That means welfare, right? That means food stamps, right? No, you know the greatest help you can ever be to a soul? Look at the 10th verse. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to. He cried, come over and help us. From that he knew by the Holy Ghost that God had assuredly called them to do what? Preach the gospel unto them. The greatest help you can ever be to a soul is to preach the gospel of the grace of God to a soul. That's the greatest help. You may give other help to folks, but never neglect to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't turn the gospel into a social gospel. Oh no! Make sure they get the message of the grace of God in all. So God moves. God has moved this thing around to the west. All right. If Asia was the survival of a thwarted or threatened people, here we have in Europe the development of a thinking people. And we come over even to the time, we don't have time to go through all of that history, do we? But God was putting Bible-believing people on mountain ranges and where there were borders and rivers that made the languages diverse and spread them out and didn't let them gather together all the time in one or two little conclaves, but made sure that the gospel got to many languages all over the European continent. What I'm saying this morning is God has already set up the world to win the world to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we have no excuse. Well, not neglect. Amen. Young people, young families, watch the order of God.
Right.
Go back to the order of God. Watch how He has set this world up to win the world to His own Son. The development means to propagate the gospel. We could say the semi-modern or even into the modern means began in Europe, including the printing press.
Right, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Was all there. God was bringing all that up. The gospel diffused into multiple nationalities and languages. And the gospel, or I should say, once the gospel had been thought out and carried around Europe and gotten to the British Isles, amen.
Right.
Now what happened in Europe, unfortunately at that time, rationalism took over.
Yeah.
Once God said, all right, I'm gonna make it easier for man to think. I'm going to let man get more educated. I'm going to let man learn some new things, some scientific things. This is always a danger. That man will use what God gives him and man will use what God shows him to walk away from God, turn an idol out of his own mind and out of his own thinking and run away from getting the gospel around the world. I don't call my sons to preach, but I did and I do care to deal with my sons in a matter to get them to listen to the voice of God.
Right.
You can't call men to preach, but you can be used of God to get others just to listen to the voice of God.
Amen.
Sit and listen to the voice of God. Good. And pray God send laborers into His harvest.
Amen.
So that's Europe. So there's an east to west movement. Yes, there's an east to west movement in the Bible. Well, the direction of the restoration of Israel under Nehemiah was what, how? East to west. The direction of the calling of Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees was east to west. The direction of Jacob's restoration from Laban, I just put it that way, was east to west. The direction of the high priest's entrance into the tabernacle was east to west. The direction of Christ into the city of Jerusalem, east to west. We've already seen it. The direction of the gospel's propagation, east to west. The direction of the sun's movement as man sees it standing on earth, from east to west. And listen, the second coming, as the lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. God has a direction from east to west. Revelation chapter number 3. Well, you know, I could spend about 3 hours on this. You know, if we had a chalkboard up here and had the time. But I'm enjoying this. I'm just enjoying this. I appreciate the opportunity. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them come to worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Watch that. Hey, they kept the word of God. Listen, this was the age of a King James Bible. Are you listening? This was the age that God gave the world a Bible. Listen, I was in, I've got to watch my time here, but I was in, I landed in Korea one time. This was before I was saved. I landed in Korea. My wife and I got married in the middle of my tour to Korea. I came home, and she begged me to come home and marry her. Amen. And so I came home in the middle of the tour, and we got married. And we only had 3 weeks together, and I had to go back to Korea for another 9 months. That gave her an opportunity to get used to being married without having to put up with a husband. Amen. And so I went back to Korea and landed at Kimpo, the old Kimpo airport. Incheon was the big airport, not open in those days. And there were two kind of taxi cabs. And one was a metered cab, which is what you want. And the other was without a meter. You better make the deal before you get in that car. All that's different now. But in those days, you don't get in. You better look in there. And so I made the mistake of getting in an unmetered cab. And I was going down the road thinking, uh-oh, I don't hear that click, 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 click of that meter. And so I had him stop. And I said, how much I owe you? Let me out right here. And I was in the middle of a rice paddy. And there's nothing out there. And I didn't know if there'd be another taxi showing up that way or not. And I paid the man, got out, and stood on the side of the road with my baggage thinking, that's probably the dumbest thing I've done so far in my life. Just get out in the middle of a rice paddy with no guarantee that I'd have any transportation. But about 20 minutes later, here comes another cab. I looked carefully. There was nobody in it but the driver. So I hailed him down and I looked in. I stuck my head right in that front window and there that meter was. I said, oh, that's wonderful. I didn't know enough to say thank the Lord. But I got in the back seat. And I said, even this is a risk. But I said, I didn't speak Korean. I said, you know bus station? He looked at me and said, where you want to go, Mac? As if he was from New York. I never thought about it then. I wasn't saved. Didn't know anything about how God preserved His Bible. But looking back on that now, you know what? God's made this world, literally, listen, God's made this world an English-speaking world. When I went to China in 1990, I learned that all of the school kids had to study English. All of them. All over China. All right? Now, if you followed that generation on up, and I'm 63 years of age now, and now, if that kind of followed us up. So now if you go to China and go to a city, not necessarily far out in the countryside, but if you go to a city, go to Beijing, go to Shanghai, go to Guangzhou, go to Shenzhen, go to Guilin, go to any of the big cities, and you will find 63-year-old Chinese that can handle a pretty good English conversation. Because they were in that, from the 1950s, they had to study English all the way through high school, and if they went to college, all the way through college. Now who does that? Who did that? Who did that for them? I believe God did that for them. You say, oh, no, that was the rule of the communists. Well, the communists sure messed up. Because they opened up China to the Bible, whether they wanted to or not. And they opened up to a King James Bible. Oh, yes. I don't have any problem in China getting them to read a King James Bible. They're not looking for NIVs. They're not looking for any modern translations. Yes, we do. Yes, we do want them to have a Bible in their language. Yes, yes. But I believe this. The world has become essentially an English-speaking world. And the reason that they want all of that done in English in China is because they want to get every medical manual, every technological manual, every kind of manual that's published in English-speaking countries, and they want their own people to be able to translate them into Chinese. And that's why all the way back in the 50s, they started making sure that all school children learned English. God put His Word in an English Bible for English-speaking people. Listen, that era, that era of Philadelphia goes back to approximately 1600 and comes all the way up to about 1900 or 1901. Are you listening to me? Oh, you can vary. You can stretch it, trick it just a little bit. But that's about that era of time. If you follow the church ages through all of the seven churches in Revelation chapters number 2 and 3. So you can say, and I will say, and I won't be embarrassed to say, that Philadelphia was the age of the King James Bible.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. North America lay idle for 5,500 years. The Native American Indians never developed into modern societies. Are you ever wonder why? You ever wonder why they found a few open veins of gold and silver and turquoise and made jewelry, but they were never able to process it into anything industrial? Why were they kept back? Why did God keep them back? I'll tell you why. They went the wrong direction. They came east instead of going west. They came across the Bering Strait into North America, and God had them wait until European Christians could bring the gospel to them. And that was in the Philadelphian church period. Philadelphian church period. Martin Luther, and he hated Baptists, I know, but for the era importance, we know that Martin Luther and Christopher Columbus were contemporaries. America received, already developed, the gospel of the grace of God and the principles of freedom and liberty and the character from the Bible to do something with it.
Amen.
And young people, you'll need character from the Bible to do anything for God. You'll need character from the Scriptures,
yes, sir,
to carry out the will of God for your life.
Amen.
Well, west to east, Adam and Eve were driven from the garden eastward. Cain went east into exile. Jacob's backsliding was eastward. The Jews were taken into captivity eastward. The gospel was forbidden to be preached eastward. The tribes east of Jordan went into captivity first. Rome will go from west to east. The revived Rome will go from west to east. My time's up. But young people, can you listen? You know, everybody says, well, what is the Spirit of God saying all the time to anybody? Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying unto the churches. God uses the church.
Yes, He does. Yeah.
Listen to what this... Hey, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith where? Unto the churches. You know where you need to be? in church. You know where God's going to prosper His missions program? Through the church. Find God's order. Get in it. Be faithful to it. God will use you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.